In the Easter season, these Sundays following Easter, the readings, you are particularly rich. And so, in preparing for a homily on Sunday, I try to, believe it or not, try to narrow it down a little bit. Maybe that's hard for you to believe, but anyhow, and one of the things that sort of over the years has been a way for me to focus a little bit is in praying and reading over the scriptures in preparation for Sunday. Sometimes a particular passage, even just a particular line, not even a whole verse or sentence, sometimes will catch my attention and be a focus. And this time, actually, there were two of these. One was in the first reading, one's in the gospel. They don't have very much in common, except the same person said them. It's interesting. In the first reading, we have Peter before the Sanhedrin on trial. And he's been ordered not to preach or teach or heal in the name of Jesus. And Peter, this sort of transformed Peter that we see, especially after the day of Pentecost in the Acts of the Apostles, says, "We must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. So do whatever you want to us, say whatever you want to say, but we are going to continue to preach and teach and heal in the name of Jesus. Because we must obey God rather than men." Now, we've heard Peter before talk in kind of a cocky way, you know, before. But this time he actually means it. This time he's going to follow through on what he says. Because he's been through a lot. This is after the resurrection. This is after Pentecost, even, and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And that takes us back to the other line that I'd like to look at that kind of caught my attention this week. And that's from the gospel, which is also Peter speaking. And this is immediately after the resurrection, one of these appearances that Jesus makes. And this is with the apostles, a number of them, who've gone back up to Galilee and gone back to their day job, basically, you know. They're out fishing and they're still not very good at it. They hadn't caught anything, you know. And Jesus says, tells them again what to do. "Is this ringing a bell with you?" Well, it should. And it should have with them as well, with Peter in particular. Because there was another miraculous catch of fish like this. And it was right when Peter and James and John and Andrew were called in the first place to follow Jesus. It's very interesting. How does this gospel passage end today? With the words, "Follow me," which again echoes that call of Jesus. And so Jesus is setting up Peter, one, to relive his first fervor, but also he has this very difficult interrogation where Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter figures out what this is about. This is about his threefold denial on the night of Jesus' agony, on the night of Holy Thursday. You know, when he had spoken out in a very cocky way, "Oh Lord, you know, whatever happens, I will never deny you." And Jesus says, "Really? Before this night is over, you're going to deny me three times." You know, Judas only denied him once. And Peter realizes what's happening. Jesus is sort of rehabilitating Peter. He's called him back to that first love that he had for Jesus in, recall it, in this miraculous catch of fish. And he's also taken him to his lowest point as a disciple of Jesus. On that night when he denied Jesus three times. But also on that night when he immediately repented. Because there's something about Peter that really is very heartfelt. And so Jesus, he says, Peter says to Jesus after the third question, "Do you love me?" Peter responds, and I find this very, very poignant. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." It seems to me this is almost sort of a cry really from the heart, almost of sort of desperation. You know, saying, "Lord, not me, but just because I totally rely on you, and you know, despite my failures, you who know me from the inside out, you know that I love you." It's a line that one great saint actually recommends to use as a preparation for confession, actually. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." When Peter is on trial, he makes that very bold statement. This is, of course, that's after this one, where he says, "We must obey God rather than men." Because that is such a challenge, isn't it, in our lives? Who are we going to obey? Who are we going to obey? And I think that's the challenge for us. Are we going to obey God rather than men? Are we going to let Jesus Christ call the shots for us? Are we going to follow the gospel? Are we going to let the church take the lead? The church that teaches authoritatively in the name of Christ, to whom, you know, Jesus entrusted the deposit of faith, to Peter and the apostles and their successors. Because we see a great divergence happening in the world, and frankly, even happening in the church. Are we going to obey God rather than men? One of the places maybe where it's most pronounced is in the whole area of it, like especially out in the world, but maybe in our own lives, is in the whole area of marriage and family life and human sexuality and all of those things, what it means to be a man and a woman and marriage and all of those kind of things, which there used to be sort of a consensus on, you know, but the world and the church have parted ways and are parting ways more and more on that. Who are we going to obey? You know, it's very clear in the church's teaching. You go right back to the book of Genesis, to the creation of Adam and Eve, and it's very clear to see what God's idea was in creating man, in creating woman, in creating marriage, in commanding for the creation of family life, and how this is supposed to work. And the interesting thing about it is it's revealed to us. It's a part of creation. It's a part of revelation. In other words, it's God's idea, not ours. And we have the great benefit of living right after the time of probably one of the best teachers and interpreters of this, as it relates to human life, to marriage and family and men and women and all that sort of thing. I'm talking about St. John Paul in his great body of teaching that's come to be known as the theology of the body. It's nothing really new, but it's very clear, it's very beautiful, it's very inspiring, but it's also very challenging, to tell you the truth. To follow God is hard. And if anybody ever tells you it's not hard, then they're lying to you. But it is. It's hard. It's hard to do. That's what St. Peter found on the night of Holy Thursday. It's hard to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in circumstances. And so what are we going to do? Are we going to obey him, or are we going to obey the world? My sister, who's a Dominican sister actually, like the ones who teach here in our school, one time, many, many years ago, I was working on a confirmation retreat for eighth graders, and she gave me some materials. And one of them had a great activity that I really liked a lot. It said, like you were on trial, like Peter and the other apostles, on trial for being a Christian, because that's actually exactly what they were on trial for. And the point of this activity was, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Or are you pretty much just like everybody else? I think I've touched a nerve there because nobody laughed, okay? Would there be enough evidence to convict you or me of being a Christian? There was for Peter. And of course, ultimately, he went to his own literal cross for being a Christian. How do we do this? You know, Jesus tells us we have to deny ourselves every day, take up our cross, and follow him. You know, that's never going to sell in the world. I mean, that is not good PR. You know, if you went to an ad agency with that, they'd say, let's come back with another idea, okay? How are we ever going to do that? Well, it comes from having this encounter with Jesus, just like Peter did. Encountering him, following him, falling flat on his face, experiencing the incredible mercy of God, and getting up and beginning again. And that's why I think that passage from the gospel is so important. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Even though maybe sometimes it doesn't look like it too much. Like that night I betrayed you 3 times. But you know me not the way that the world knows me. You know me from within. Because you made me, and you have saved me, and you desire the fullness of life for me, which you provide. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And then this is the way we're able to respond to that beautiful Paul at the end of the gospel today. Follow me. Not the world, but me. Follow me.